that logic trail. We have a couple of different things that are happening today, and really excited to bring them forward to you. But I want to start off with Katie's going to share something about what we're doing with the prophetic ministry that's new. Katie?
Good morning. You'll see something scrolling across the bottom of the screen. It'll come back. We're trying out something new this Sunday, and we're hoping that it works well enough that we can do it again the next Sunday and the Sunday after that. But we had some technology available to us that wasn't being used in the form of an iPad. And Peggy Jarboe, our prophetic lead, is holding the iPad. We, instead of passing her little slips of paper, if we feel the Lord has given us a word or walking up to her and passing along verbally, we are now going to ask you guys to send your prophetic words with your name so we know who it came from via text. And there goes the number. 301-284-8637, or email it, okay, using your phones, to prophetic@ourfathershouseag.org. There was a slide that had a QR code. You are able to, you know, do that with your phone. I'm not sure what you call that. There you go. So if you guys actually hold your phone up, you should be able to get it with your camera, and then you can save it so you already have the number or the email address to contact whoever the prophetic lead is through the iPad. Our hope with this is that it streamlines our process, that we have a historical record of words given. It also can take away the fear of walking up to the prophetic lead and passing along a word. So this is open to not just the prophetic ministry team, but anybody who feels on a Sunday morning that you've received a word, pass it along to the lead with your name. One other thing, it is only for Sunday mornings. So don't email us throughout the week with, your dream or a word. We have other means of receiving those types of words. This is just for Sunday mornings. Did I miss anything?
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, this is a really cool thing. I'm excited about it because one of the things that happens in the past is we've been receiving lots of paper things, and those get lost, they get misplaced, and we want to be doing the best we can to honor the words that the Lord is giving here to us. So whether it gets shared on Sunday morning or not, that we will then have an electronic archive we can go back through and search. Didn't God say something about that? Didn't we get a few words about those things? We can go back and pull that up in the future. So really looking forward to this. So please, 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 if you feel like the Lord is saying something to you, text, email it to the prophetic lead. And once you deliver that, your job is done. You've delivered the word, the message that you've been given, and it's up to the Lord with what happens beyond that. So,
hello.
We're going to do something fun this morning. We have the opportunity to do a baby dedication today. And this has come up not through our normal cycle, but it's an exciting thing that we get to do because we have a new family who's coming, well, a new family who's been with us before, the Postians. As if you're here last week, they came back, which is really, really wonderful. These are longtime friends of ours, and we go personally way, way back. But they've been out in Japan for the past few years, but they've come back to us. And when we normally do our baby dedications in January, Steve is going to be on a deployment, so we want to make sure that we have an opportunity to dedicate their son here today. Now, this is just the life of the church. It's like we breathe in, people are here for a while, and then we breathe back out again today. And we're going to be doing that whole cycle here today. And so we're excited right now to bring this little guy forward. So, Steve, Danielle, can you guys come on up? Now, at our church, we don't baptize babies when they're born. What we do is we dedicate them, okay? We dedicate them, we set them aside for the Lord, and we commit ourselves to the nurture and admonition of our children, bringing them to a point in life where they will be able to make a decision for the Lord for themselves, because it's for each one of us to make. And as we do this, we're covering them in what the Lord is doing in their lives, and we're committing ourselves, not just the parents, but we as a church, into bringing this child forward to a place where they can make that decision for Christ. And this is a wonderful thing that we're doing. And just look around. Look at all the kids that we have around us right now. If you're new to us, you'll hear me say this over and over again. About a third of our population here is children. That is a huge blessing. And it's a huge responsibility that we have to bring them forward in the Lord. And so we're taking that thing seriously. And I want you guys to know that as long as I'm in this house and others that are in this house that are committed to these children, just know that when your kids are here, God is going to bless them through the people that are working with them. We have folks that are committed to them. We don't just see them as baby Christians with the baby Holy Spirit and any of that. These are the future leaders. They're the current people within the body of Christ. They just happen to be younger than the rest of us. And so we are geared for bringing them forward in what God has for them. So, parents, Steve and Danielle, talk to us a little bit about who this guy is.
Well, this is Seth, and he was born on Christmas Day last year, so I don't know. That's our son.
Awesome. He's wonderful. I got to meet him finally last week, and he was just so sweet and such a happy little guy. So we're blessed to have him with us. So, guys, parents who make this vow today of commitment are instructed to raise their children in the ways of God and not according to their own ways. We already know that you guys are doing that, just watching how you've raised Elsie and what you're doing with him. So just want to commend you in that. But some of the responsibilities that you have include teaching and training the child in God's word, demonstrating an example of godliness, disciplining according to God's ways, and praying earnestly for that child. Now, Dad, you've got a big responsibility. You are the earthly representation of a father to this guy. And there's a transference there of who you are representing as our Father God. Now, you're not God, but the qualities of him should be flowing through you. And I know you take that seriously. This is instructional for all of us as parents. Fathers, we have a big role to play because a lot of issues people have are daddy issues. And a lot of issues people have with God are daddy issues. We're not going to get them all right, but our eyes should be on him, and we should be looking to represent him to our children. Mom, no one holds a place in his heart like you do. You're that place of nurture, your wisdom, your love. No one loves you like your mother, and you get to demonstrate that to him in just incredible capacities. And Danielle, you're a great mom. Just loving seeing how you're raising your kids, and so we're excited to see what's going on here. And grandparents, you guys have raised your children, but you hold such an incredible role in the lives of your grandchildren in being able to have that wisdom, to have that love, to be that place that they can run to when mom and dad just don't understand, right? But also to help your kids in raising their own kids. And that's a huge role that you guys have to play. We're just thankful that you guys are walking with them and they've been able to come back home and be with you now. So what a great opportunity. So we're going to go through this act of dedication. I'm going to ask a question to you as a congregation, and it's about your commitment to this family and to this child to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we're going to do that, and then Mom and Dad, we're going to have you guys. I'm going to ask you some questions of commitment and dedication, and you'll say, "We do," and "I will," and all those types of things, and then we're going to pray over this wonderful young guy, okay? So, to the congregation, will you of our Father's house purpose before God, these parents, and these children, that as God supplies grace and opportunity, you will endeavor to demonstrate to these parents and children a lifestyle of encouragement and example of the Christian faith? Thank you. All right, to the parents. In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up your child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to seek to lead your child early in their life to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you promise, as far as it lies within you, that with God's help and grace, you will set before your child examples of consistent godly living? All right. Now, if you've been in relationship with the Postions, I'd ask you to come forward because we're going to lay hands on them as we bless Seth here. Come on up. Don't be shy. Father, we thank you for Seth Postian. Lord, we thank you for this gift. Lord, I thank you that his name means appointed. And Lord, you have appointed him for such a time as this. We thank you for the grace that is already evident in his life. We thank you for your plans and your purposes for him, Lord. Lord, let him be a man of peace in his generation. Lord, give him keen wit, keen insight. Lord, we ask that he would be able to stand in the midst of a storm and be a strength to those that are around him. I thank you for him, Father. Lord, I bless him. I bless him with health. I bless him with peace. I bless him with strength, Lord Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would cover him in your anointing, even from an early age, Lord. Lord, I pray over Steve and Danielle. We just thank you for this couple, Lord. We thank you for this mother and father. Lord, we ask that you would give them wisdom, Lord Jesus, in how to raise him. We ask that you give them dreams and visions and insight, Lord, about who he is, Lord. Lord, let them impart strength to him. Let them walk with him, Lord Jesus, gloriously. And Father, we just speak your blessings over this household. We thank you this day for Seth. We dedicate him to you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to be releasing the kids downstairs, but before we do, I asked Pastor Dan to talk with us really quick about a change we've made for the children's security.
Hello, good morning. Hey, good morning. First of all, I want to say I'm thankful for everyone. The dessert auction. You guys are so remarkable, and I really appreciate your support. I just wanted to let you know that that we had like over 70 desserts, and through your participation, we raised over, it was like $1,800. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you for, you know, everyone that was involved, and I mean, it's a couple of special thank yous. I don't see Karen here, but her and Cassie are just like my go-to people whenever it's organizing something. They're so detailed, and, you know, they really brought you guys together. And so I just wanted to say thank you for cooking your desserts, for giving your donation, and participating in the dessert auction altogether. So thank you very much. The other thing, this here is a sign-out sheet for parents whenever you go to your classroom to pick up your child. You will not have to give your sticker. Please keep your stickers with you. We're not going to be receiving them in the classrooms anymore. Security will actually receive them up here. Let me give you a little backstory so you understand why we're implementing the... we're trying to protect kids. And what we have done has worked in the past, but once in a blue moon, there will be a child that is, you know, comes upstairs unattended. Okay, whether that child was released downstairs to their parents and the child comes up here without a parent, or whether we're doing checkout and the teacher's busy and a child runs out with another family. However it happens. And it's not the safe environment that I'm comfortable with. I want your kids to be safe. I want all of our kids to be safe. And so far, I really appreciate all that you guys have gone through to help us implement some safe measures so that our kids are safe and so they're not just roaming around and so on. So what we're going to do is when you sign in, you get your stickers, you get your security tag, you come in here, you worship, you go down, the kids will go downstairs with their name tag. The teacher will write your child's name on here with the security tag number. And then when you come to when the service is over and you come to pick up your child, you'll just show them the security tag number. They'll match it with what they wrote down here. You'll keep it. And then when you come up here, up the steps, you'll have the name tag and the security tag. And you'll just give that to the security team. And that's it. It'll be real easy. There's only one person receiving them, and you don't have to worry about, oh, do I give this teacher the security tag or this teacher? It's one person. So it's actually easier for everybody. And I'm hoping that as we run through this a couple of times, we'll work out the kinks. Okay, so I'm just hoping and praying that it's safer, and more convenient for everybody. Okay, so thank you very much for your time on that. God bless you guys.
I want to stand up here with Pastor Dan to just reiterate. What we're doing is we're increasing our security for our kids. As I just said, we've got a third of our population is children. And so what we want to ensure is that they're always making it back up here with their parents to your arms. So no child is going to leave without an adult. So you can't send teens down to go pick up your kids. It's got to be an adult with a tag to pick up your child. We want to make sure everybody that's coming back upstairs is accounted for by their tags. So thanks to Pastor Dan. Also thanks to Keith Dobson for implementing a tighter security measure. So we're asking for everybody to partner with us as we're doing our job and our due diligence to protect these kids, our most precious people that are here with us. So with that, we're going to bless the kids and we're going to send them downstairs. So put your hands on your kids. Blessing your children with your hands on them is such an important thing for you to do as parents, okay? So together, Father, we just thank you for these children. We thank you, Father, for these youngest in the body of Christ. We thank you for the responsibility, Lord, that we have and the honor that we have to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for them. We just, as we send them downstairs, Lord, we just ask that you would bless them, Father. Let them feel your presence. Let them get to know you more. And we just ask for their minds to be open to learn more about you, Jesus. We just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Kids, if you will, please go through the back doors and follow Pastor Dan downstairs. That's a lot of people. Ushers, if we can, we just close the doors. Thank you, guys. Well, this morning, we're doing something that we haven't done in a while, and that's going to be we're going to be holding communion together. And if you haven't been with us over the past couple months, I'm just going to give a quick rehash of why we're doing this now the first time in a little while. We had a scenario that evolved over time where we were finding, I'll put it this way, gossip and things like that taking place in Facebook and in other forums. And so we said, we got to cut this stuff out because what we're moving towards is unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. And we're not going to allow divisions to come in among us. And so last Encounter Sunday, when we came together, the presence of the Lord was so sweet among us. And it was just an incredible just blessing to be in his presence in such a tangible, real way. And he was showing us, look, this is what I have here with you guys, and I have more for you. And when we allow divisions among us, what ends up happening is the presence of the Holy Spirit can find a place to land with us, and he can depart. And he's going to land in places where his presence is honored. His presence is honored when we have unity among us, where there's forgiveness, where there's health, where there's strength together. And so we took the opportunity last Encounter Sunday to just repent before the Lord. And I gave us a month to take time where if there's been an offense that has been taken, to go to each other and to settle those things. Ask for forgiveness. because the Lord wants us to live in peace with one another. And so I'm going to go through some things. I'm going to read some scripture to us, because it's important for us as we're establishing this, or reestablishing where we're at in light of where we've been. I want us to settle what it is that God has been doing for us and what he wants to do. Because where we've been is not where we're going to be in the future, and it's not something that we're even going to keep bringing forward, because it becomes part of our history. It becomes part of our past together. The Lord wants new things for us. So I'm going to read to you some scripture, and then we're going to talk about some new statements that are going to be working their way into our language, because as we speak these things, they become the new way of how we do things. And as we go through scenarios like we've been through, these are the milestones that we have as a people in moving forward together in the body of Christ. So, I'm going to read first from John chapter 17. This is verse 20 and following. Now, the context for this is Jesus has been praying for his disciples. This is right before he goes towards the cross. He's prayed for his disciples, but then he prays for us, for people and believers of all time. He says this, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." When he says to complete unity there, the root word for unity there is the same word that's been used in the rest of that statement. It's one. He keeps saying in one, that we are one, that they are one. The Lord God is one. And in Christ, we get pulled together in him, and we are part of that one. One cannot be divided. Christ is not divided. God is not divided. Jesus even says God's not divided. So we have to be one. Do we have offenses? Do things come up? They absolutely do. And if you look in Matthew chapter 18, there's a process for how you become reconciled to your brother or sister when they've wronged you in some sort of way. You have the opportunity to go to them, to bring that to them, to humble yourself before them and to bring that to them. And if they don't listen to you, you get another brother and you bring him as a witness. There's a process for bringing those things forward, because God wants to deal with division always, because we are one in Christ. So the last thing that Jesus prays before he goes through this passion is for us to be one. And it's always rooted in love. If you go on to verse 25, you see this. "Righteous Father, though the world does not yet know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Oneness isn't just about us agreeing with each other. Oneness is about us loving each other, not with our own love, but Christ's love. And Christ's love is a forgiving love. It's that agape love. It's that laying yourself down for another. There's only a few chapters before this, he gave them a new command. He didn't say, love yourselves or love one another as you would like to be loved. Treat one another as you would like to be treated. It's not the golden rule. He said, love one another as I have loved you. He had demonstrated that throughout his life. So as we read through the Gospels and we see the way that Christ loves, recognize that he is representing the Father. And it's that fatherly love. And he's calling all of us to love in that way. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read through chapter 12, this is from verse 12 on, and I'm also going to read chapter 13, because this is the context for how we move forward. This is the context for how we're supposed to live and how we honor one another as members in the body of Christ. This can be maybe a little bit long, but I'd like you to read through, whether you have it on your phone, if you have a paper version of the Bible or you just want to follow along on the screen, I ask you to really open yourselves up and listen to what the Lord is saying to us right now as the body of Christ and what he's teaching us right now about oneness, about forgiveness, about love, about the diversity within the body of Christ and what he's doing in drawing us together in unity. I'm going to get a drink of water first. First Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ. This is to you right now. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Everything that we do will burn. Everything we say, every action we take, every thought that we have, all of it will burn unless it's done in love. It's the only thing that will survive the fire, is that which is done in love. The Bible warns us to watch every idle word that comes out of our mouths. Last time we were together and I shared about this, I talked about the power of the tongue. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. You can encourage, you can strengthen, you can build with your tongue, but you can also tear down. You can also destroy, you can rip apart with your tongue. You can set a forest ablaze with your tongue. And we hear this, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't have both of these things coming out of our mouths. This shouldn't be so. We should be speaking life into situations. We should be encouraging. We should be uplifting. And we do that here. We do that here. I have been personally blessed by so many people in this room right here. I've personally received so much grace from people that I didn't deserve here in this room. The character and the quality of what God has done here by His Spirit in this place is incredible. And it's worth everything that we can give, everything that we can do to not only maintain that, but to move the ball forward. So there's some statements that are coming out of this time. Because we're turning away from what has happened before. This is what happens when you find yourself, when you're in Christ, and you find yourself in error, you find yourself in sin, what's the first thing you do? You repent. And repent just doesn't mean you're just saying you're sorry. Repent means that you're turning from something to something. And we always turn to Christ. We always turn to Christ. We align our lives with Him. Sin and all the other stuff is us finding ourselves out of alignment with Jesus. And so then we have to bring that back into alignment. We do that by repenting. We say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I choose to turn from where I have been to where You are. I turn back towards You. We've had some statements here over the history of our Father's house in Prague and everything that we've been before that. One of them that is great says basically this: if you're not part of the problem or part of the solution, don't be part of the conversation or you become part of the problem. It's a good one, right? And it makes sense. And it's one for us to keep in our minds. Something we've learned about out of this one comes down to this. This is the statement we're moving forward with. We build one another up, and we do not tear one another down. We will honor the Lord by speaking life into the work He has given another to do, or we won't speak at all. You may have learned this when you're younger. You have nothing nice to say, don't say it. But in our context, we recognize that when we honor one another, we're honoring God. Because Christ is living in every single one of us. He's anointed each of us to a certain call. And when we are moving in what He has called us to do, and that's a work of God. We are worshiping God by our actions. We're aligning with the purpose that He has for us. And so when we view one another in the things that we're doing, who are we to be critical of what God has done in that person's life? We should be speaking life to that thing. Do people need rudder? Absolutely, people need rudder. Sometimes people need correction. Sometimes we see activity that's going on, we say, that's not right. We shouldn't be doing that. Here's a statement for that. If something needs corrected, then bring it to those who have authority to correct it, or bring it to the pastor. Because if something's out of alignment, we want to bring it back into alignment. But that opportunity has to be given to those who've been given authority and responsibility over that thing. We honor them, and we honor what the Lord is doing through them by bringing it to them. But when we talk to about it with everybody else, that's called gossip. We don't need that. That brings division. Unity and oneness means we bring it to those who have the authority to deal with it so that we can then act. All right? We're going to be taking communion this morning, but before we do, I'm going to ask that we go back into a time of worship because I would like us to really meditate on what the Lord is saying here. I was reading those scriptures to you, and there may have been parts of those passages that settled with you or felt highlighted to you. Just bring those before the Lord. Lord, what are you saying to me about that right now? Because the Holy Spirit is calling us forward into unity together. He's calling us forward into a place where we can come to Him and know that we're living in peace with one another and that He has a place to land here with us. We always, always, always want to honor the person in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, what are we doing here? Okay? Lee, would you lead us back into worship?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, free with I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, snow within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me.
I surrender. I surrender.
Here I am.
Before you. We give ourselves to you. Your mercy and your grace are so abundant. I don't know how. Say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you, like oil upon your like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I'll pour my love. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire,
all upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart, I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yes, the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Wine for me to drink, like water from my heart, I'll pour my love on you. If praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone, I'll pour my
Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we're thankful that we get to be able to pour our love back on you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We thank you for who you are. You are welcome in this place. Hallelujah. As we reinstate communion today, I'd like for us to think about what communion does for us and what it represents. You know, we just read through 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 about oneness, about the diversity of the gifts that he's given us. God is assembling the body of Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price for all of our sins for all time. For all time. For everyone that was alive at that point in time, everyone that's alive now, and everyone who will be alive in the future, for all time, he paid the price for every single sin. He took our sin and our shame onto the cross. What an incredible thing. You see, he made a way for us to come back into relationship with our Father, God. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, paying the price that we could never pay, because he loved us, because he loves us, and he will continue to love us on into eternity. When you come to Christ, You are participating in something that has already taken place. You're not earning by coming to Christ your way to God. You're not earning anything. Jesus paid the price, and he's there with himself saying, come partake of what I have already done. Come partake of me. He said, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Eat me. I have a new covenant in my blood. Drink me. I made a way. When he was on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. He finished it. You didn't finish anything. He finished it. You can't finish it. When you're in Christ and you find yourself in sin, he's already forgiven that sin. We get to repent and realign ourselves with him, but that sin has already been forgiven, not only in eternity, but in time and space. He paid the price for it all. There's nothing you can do to earn it before you come to him or after you come to him. We have to keep coming to him. We keep coming to him, and we keep saying, Lord, you are Lord of my life. I walked out of alignment. I'm back in alignment with you. Because I'm in your kingdom. I am in you. I am yours. You and I are supposed to be one. If you said it, then it must be so. When we find things in our lives that are outside of Christ, we let them fall away. He's growing us. He's maturing us. He's putting more of his character on display in us. That's a long road, folks. But our destiny is already secured in him. When we come to him and we say, come live in me, come live through me, be Lord of my life, I believe that you paid the price for me. And not only did you die, but he was resurrected. He has power over sin. He has power over the grave. He has power over all of it. And he proved it. And we get to walk in that resurrection power today because of Jesus and what he did for us. When we come together in communion, we are recognizing together what he did for us. We're remembering Jesus paid the price for it all. He wrote a new covenant in his blood, and we are now partakers of that. Together, we are the body of Christ. I'm not sure if I'm a toe or a fingernail or whatever, but I'm in him, and he is in me, and he is in us. And we are in him. And he's drawing us all together. What a powerful thing. We come to communion. We remember that we are part of the body of Christ. We partake in the elements that remind us that we are part of the body of Christ and the price that he paid. What an honor that we get to do this. People have been doing this down through time over the past 2 millennia. It's an eternal thing that we're doing. And we're bringing that eternal reality here into time and space when we're doing it. We're connecting with the body of Christ across time. What an incredible thing. Let us not take that for granted. If your brother has something against you, or if you have something against your brother, settle it with him. Because nothing is worth more than what Jesus has already done for us. In our recognition of that, in keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Thank you, Lord, that you give us a way for that. Our ushers are going to come forward, and they're going to be releasing us row by row in just a moment. And take the elements back to your seat, and we'll partake of it together as a family, as the body of Christ. Now here at our Father's house, when we celebrate communion, the table of the Lord is open to all because Jesus stretched wide for all of us. And he says, come to me. Partake of me. Lose your life. in me, you will find it. So he welcomes all to his table. Ushers, if you will. Thank you. Part of the body of Christ here at our Father's house. We are a manifestation of his body in the earth. And all those things that we read about, all those roles and those gifts that we read about today, they're resident here within our Father's house. You know, it's not just about us pastoral staff. We have so many people that put their gifts on display in different ways. Some of those are seen. Many of those are unseen. And I am so grateful for all the ways that you, as God's people, bring those gifts to bear. We have people that meet with folks to help them with their financial challenges, help them figure out what's going on, help them sort through that. That's a gift. That's counsel. That's guidance. That's very practical help. We've got folks that are downstairs with our kids right now, just blessing them and loving on them. They're partnering with our parents to bring these children forward. Our ushering staff is amazing. They're behind the scenes on so many things. They're in front of our eyes, but oftentimes we don't see them. What an incredible gift. So much happens all the time because of them. You have folks that are greeting at the door, just loving on people when they're coming in through the door. We have our staff that works just day in and day out to administrate so many things here with the business side of the house and the ministry side of the house. It's kind of hard to tell where the line is on either one of those, but they do it faithfully because they're doing what God has called them to do. We have people that prophesy, seeking the word of the Lord for people to speak life into their circumstances. How many of us have come in with dead circumstances in our lives, and the word of the Lord has come through and penetrated that darkness and rescued people back out of it? We have our Healing Hearts ministry and our TPM ministry, helping people to recognize the lies that they've been believing and stepping into God's truth. We see freedom happening for people. Now, these aren't the only things. There's layers upon layers upon layers. There's the lunches that you have with each other, the Bible studies that happen, the, hey, can I just call you and talk to you because I'm having a hard time right now, that happens all the time because the body was meant to minister to itself. And you do it so well and so faithfully. So as we come together right now, remembering what Jesus did and what he is continuing to do in and among us, we honor him. Take this bread. Remember the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. You know, in the old covenant, they had to come and continually sacrifice for the sins that they had done. There's blood sacrifice. Blood had to be shed for sin. And that blood would cover whatever your sin was. But when Jesus came, he died once for all. And his blood washes us clean, which means it eliminates that sin. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees Jesus. You've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He did it once for all. Jesus, we thank you for the new covenant. We thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the blood that was shed for us, giving us a way back to our Father. Take and drink. Please pass your cups to the center aisle. Our faithful ushers will come through and pick them up for you. By the way, I am so incredibly thankful for our worship teams. We have worship leaders that seek to tap into the Spirit of the Lord and lead us into his presence, just usher that in. Just thankful for you guys. Thank you. And all those that you represent. Really, it's beautiful. When we spoke this morning, we talked about, as a church body, the life of the church. We breathe in and we breathe out. And we have here our Father's house. It's just such an interesting dynamic that takes place because of where we live. Here in Southern Maryland, we have an international community here. We have so many people that come from all over the place because we have a base here where there's all sorts of incredible stuff happening. But God brings people here. They land here with us. Sometimes they think it's only going to be temporary. Sometimes it is temporary. Sometimes that temporary turns into a very long temporary. But we also see another dynamic where people will come, they'll leave, they'll come back. Thank you, Postions. Thank you, Jamersons. Thank you, Rose. Pete's, where are you guys? It's another dynamic that we see happening here. It's like the Lord is skipping a stone across a pool. And there's people that land with us for a time. And every time they come, God just immerses them in something new, something fresh for them. And they leave their imprint on that pool. The ripple effects of those that come here and land is just beautiful. All of you have come here and landed in some sort of way. Well, we also see those who've been with us for a long time. They get a new deployment. They get sent to a new place. This morning is one of those mornings. Al and Alexia Hernandez have been with us for, I think, 19 years now. Yeah. Now, if you've known Al and Alexia well, you know that their heart has been in Miami for probably about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years now. 19. Their family's in Miami, and the Lord has called them back that way. But while they have been here, they have been a mother and a father to many of us. Raise your hand if they have mothered or fathered you in their time here. Thank you, Lord. I know personally, when we landed here 15 years ago, they sat us down in one of the dinners we had together, and they said, "We know your family is on the other side of the country. While you're here, however long that will be," and none of us knew at that time, "we are willing to be your mom and your dad. If you need help with anything, we'll be there. You don't even need to tell us what it is. We'll be there to help you." And they have been that. Alexia was in the room when Jack was born. It don't get much more real than that. But she was a mother in that situation, our firstborn child. She was there by our side. And when our third was born, and I had to take the other two home to spend the night there, and Katie was going to be by herself in the hospital, Alexia came and spent the night there with Katie to watch Ben and hold him through the night. Al has been a rock in so many places, so many positions in this church. He's been on the trustees. They've been serving in various ministries. You guys did hospitality together. Every single place they've been, they have been solid, they have been firm, and they have been those that many of us have clung to in our hardest moments. They are pillars within the house of God. And we are honored that they have been with us. Alexia has been sent to the nations by us with Lanny. And she's going to continue to go with him because the Lord has staked his claim in that place with her. And we're so thankful for that. I'm going to ask the two of you to come forward. Come on. And when they sold their house, was it last year? I felt like one of the kids saying, "No, Mom and Dad, don't sell the house. Where will we all go now?" We love you guys. We love you more than we could say. And we know you're going to be down there, but our hearts are still knitted together. If you know Al and Alexia well, I want you to come on up because we're going to pray for them. Aunt Alexia, thank you for how you have laid your lives down in this house for us. Thank you for how you have brought your gifts forward, and thank you for how you have loved and demonstrated the Father's love to so many of us. You guys have been critical in so many motions. I personally thank you for everything that you guys have done for us and for the love that you've given us. You two are released from your responsibilities here. We are deploying you to Miami, to what God has called you to there. You carry with you the love that we have in our hearts for you forever. You always have a home here, but your ties of responsibility here are no longer there. God is putting you in a new place where he's going to do new things through you. This is a new season of your life, and he's prepared and shaped you for it here. He's fashioned you, and he's launching you into that place. You go back to Miami with more than you ever left there with. And what he's going to do there is going to unfold new things for you. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for these two. We thank you for the love that they have for you. We thank you for your love for them, Lord. We thank you for how you love people through them, Lord Jesus. They are Jesus with skin on. Lord, they are faithful sons and daughters, and we are so blessed that they have been a part of this house for nearly 20 years, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you have done to shape this place through them, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the mark they have left in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that our hearts will be continue to be tied with theirs, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that as this body of Christ grows, Lord, you move us all around. We thank you for this new deployment that they have there, Lord, in Miami. Lord, I ask that you would bless them as they put down roots in this place, that they would flourish. They would bloom and flourish, Lord. There would be new colors coming forth from them, Lord. There would be new things that we would see come forth from them, Lord. They would speak with different authority in this new place, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity they have to shape the lives of the new generations of their household, Lord, their own household. Lord, the neighborhood they're landing in doesn't know what's coming yet. And we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for the pastors of the church that they're going to be going to, Lord. Lord, that they would see what you see in Al and Alexia, Lord. Lord, that they would give them opportunity, Lord, to thrive in what you have given them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for a new support structure, Lord. We thank you for those whose lives will be saved because of them, Lord Jesus. For those who will be matured because of them, Lord Jesus. And Lord, for the wisdom and the insight and the impartations that will take place because of this move, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord, and we bless this move in the name of Jesus. Lord, let every single item get down to Miami unharmed, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the creativity that is within this couple, that we would see new things come forth from them. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to linger with them. We're going to dismiss everybody else because we have some other folks that are going to want to pray for them. But I'm going to say this. They are going to be moving down to Miami starting this next weekend. These two have been faithful in helping so many people move over the years. Okay, we have two instances of help we're going to need. If you can't help them this upcoming weekend, help them the next, because both Saturdays at 9 a.m., we're going to be moving them. They have an apartment to move down this week, and then they're coming back up for the storage unit. So if you have an hour's worth of time, 9 a.m. over the next two Saturdays, please come and help. It'll go fast. We do moves quick here at our Father's house. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for life together as one, as a family. And we thank you for the heartbeat, the breathing in and the breathing out of people that you do here, Lord. Lord, let us continue to honor your presence. Let us continue to honor who you are, the work that you're doing here, Lord Jesus. And we ask for your blessings and your continued impartation of your spirit here in Jesus' mighty name. If you would like to give tithes and offerings, our ushers will collect them at the back door on the way out, as is our custom on Encounter Sundays. Thank you all. God bless you. You're released.